And all God's people said, Amen. And sometimes we pray for God to give us a word, and I tell you, Carol and Choir, that may be worth getting up this morning, coming and hearing that, to be reminded of that grace. Folks, I thought I'd just go ahead and share the main point of the sermon with you to begin with. Someone could even say the final point. I see some anxious faces there. Go ahead, make your point. Let's hear that final amen, and we'll be out of here soon. Here it is. It's God's faithfulness that saves us. Simply stated, it's not about us, it's about God. Now, before then we hear that final A-M-E-N, I thought we could at least consider to ponder our understanding of faith and faithfulness. When we bring up the subject of faith, a lot of times we place God as the object of our faith instead of placing God as the subject of our faith. We place our faith in God instead of God is our faith. So what then is faith? How do we define faith? How do we explain faith to others? In Greek, the word faith, pistos, can also be translated as belief, trust, commitment. The author of Hebrews defines faith as the substance, the certainty, the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof, the conviction of things unseen. There's a bit of a paradox when we look at biblical faith, because it can be seen as both a gift and also as an action. Faith alone is enough. That's our faith as a gift. But and faith alone is not enough. That's faith in action. We see this faith in action when we read the book of James. He makes the argument for faith in works. We would understand this when we're challenged to live out our faith, thereby the evidence of our faith being seen in our works. I want us, though, to look on the other side of this faith coin here, faith as a gift, because I believe that is where we better understand God's promise of faithfulness as a gift. We see here in First Corinthians 4:7, where Paul emphasizes faith as a gift. He says, "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift? Faith is a gift from God." And then later on in Galatians, Paul gives us a list, the fruits of the Spirit. One of those is faithfulness. And so this gifts of the Spirit is more than a list of human characteristics or attributes that we may have. These are gifts from God through the Spirit. This is God's faithfulness. God is the subject of our faith. God is our faith. Scripture testifies throughout of the faithfulness of God. God remembers the covenant. God does not abandon his people. God does not break his word. God does not withhold his forgiveness. God does not hide his faith. God is profoundly faithful. Even with all of this, we forget. We abandon God. We break our word. We withhold confession. We turn our faces away from God. We're often faithless, but never God. God is always faithful. And then sometimes we add things to our faith, things that are not required. You know, to be a good Christian, to have the type of faith that God wants, that God desires, that some people say that God demands, then we are never able to doubt. We never, ever should question. Any of this will show a weakness in our faith armor, thereby disqualifying us from God's love. Over the past month, I've had some honest conversation with folks who have expressed doubts, who have wondered, is it okay to question? They wondered, is God satisfied with me? And how am I living my life? Is that enough? Is my faith strong enough to save me? And what I remind them of is Paul's words in Romans 8, that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. It's okay to doubt. If we're honest, we all doubt. And when we question, it's good to question because it means we are working out our salvation, as Paul talks about. When we question, we learn and we grow stronger in our faith. It's the word that the choir so beautifully instilled upon us that placed in our hearts this morning. It's grace. It's because of God's grace that we're able to receive that gift, the gift of God's faithfulness. Frederick Buechner, his definition of grace: nothing that you have to do, nothing that you have to do, nothing you have to do. Do we get it? To understand grace, to receive that gift of faith, there is nothing that we have to do. God's faithfulness is a gift to us. But then our doubts, our worries, our weaknesses, our sins come into our lives, and they cause us to question our faith. And in turn, we question God's faithfulness to us. Been reading Eugene Peterson's book, As Kingfishers Catch Fire, for my morning devotion. It's basically a collection of his sermons. And just recently, I've been reading this past week from his thoughts on the book of Ecclesiastes. He says Ecclesiastes is the type of book that John the Baptist would want to read. It's not there for a lot of nourishment. It's not a meal, but it's more so a bath. It's more of a book to purify us, to cleanse us, to help us repent. Peterson says that if you translate Ecclesiastes into English, it translates as preacher, which I later got a chuckle because he said that preacher can also be seen as soap and water. The next chapter, he says the preacher can also be seen as the garbage man. Where are you going here? But sometimes we have that mud and that dirt in our lives, within our faith, that the preacher, that Ecclesiastes needs to clean. We have the garbage man that is there to remove the clutter that can be in our lives. He uses illustration that the preacher, the Ecclesiastes, is like a parent calling us as the children into dinner. It's supper time. I know y'all can remember maybe those long afternoons, those summer evenings when you hear mom or dad or grandma calling you to come in. It's time to eat. So you race home and you're ready to eat. You've been working up an appetite and they look at you. You are not sitting at that table until you go wash up. You are filthy. But you know, we don't feel filthy. We've been down at the creek catching tadpoles. We've been out playing football or riding a bike or making mud pies, eating mud pies. I don't know what it is, but we're dirty, but we don't feel dirty. We've been having clean fun. And so it's natural feeling to us, that dirt. It's a normal feeling, but it's not the same nature as the friendship offered and the faithfulness of the Lord's table. And so then we need the preacher to point past not just what is right, but what is real in our lives. To point past the illusions to what's actual. We need that soap and water to cleanse off the dirt and the grime. We need that garbage man to come in and to remove the trash and the clutter that we have collected in our lives. so that we can experience and receive God's faithfulness. Again, it's God's faithfulness that saves us. It's not about us, it's about God. Sometimes, though, when we cloud up that faithfulness, we add dirt and grime. It's not so much our efforts, but it's our faith in God. But more importantly, it's God's faith in us that can make us right. I've included in our worship programs these little cards here, and these are just a reminder. We're doing a sermon series, New Year, Same Promises, and we all realize that we make these grand resolutions, and that if you're like me, I shared last week, I've already broken that resolution. And so even when our resolutions fade and we don't keep our promises to ourselves, God always keeps his promise. And so today it's God's promise of faithfulness. And so as a way that we can respond to God's faithfulness, look at Psalm 40, verses 1 through 10. We read that earlier. I'm just going to share just a few points from these verses here. You can look on that card and it goes through each one. Some of the life lessons, the truth that I glean from this text, and I'm sure you will, we, through the Spirit, will glean others. God will bring truth to you. Verse 1, it talks about the psalmist who waits patiently on God. Probably a better translation is intensely hopes on God. The psalmist finds himself in a pit, in a problem. And so he cries out, and God reaches down and lifts the psalmist up out of the pit, rescues him, and places him on a solid rock, on a strong foundation. And then he places a new song in his heart, which could mean a new life, a new orientation, a new outlook. And then he gives him different ways that, as you see in the later verses, that how he could live out that new life by trusting only in God, by realizing it's not just an offering of a sacrifice, but it's God's, the praise that God wants from us to praise him, to follow his will. And then the last verses, the last part, talks about taking that faith public and sharing it with others. And so as a closing thought, whatever brought the psalmist down, it's God who lifts them up. So for us, whatever pit we might find ourselves in, whatever brings us down, because of God's promise of faithfulness, God will bring us up. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for, first of all, your grace. Just because of the love that you have for us through sending us your Son, that you have extended to us salvation, that you have reminded us and shown us throughout scriptures in our own lives that you are faithful. That when our promises fade and we fail and we turn our back on you, that you never, never turn your back on us, God. We thank you for your covenant. We thank you for all the many promises that you have given us, that you have blessed us with, God. And I pray that we will be able to remove anything in our lives or hearts that is cluttering up receiving your faithfulness, to understanding and just knowing without a shadow of a doubt the promise that you have for us. We thank you, God, for loving us, and we thank you for all of your many promises. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We continue.